Paul Jones here with an hour of rhythm and blues, and as I hinted at the end of last week's show, it's a bit crowded this evening. Later, we shall be talking to Rick Lee of 10 Years After and to their new guitarist, Joe Gooch. Later still, it'll be the Chief, Eddie Clearwater, and Barry Dolan's chief organiser of the Chicago Blues Festival. Plus a slight return, as somebody once put it, of the Yellow and Blues Band, and you've got a busy programme. We'll start more than 50 years ago with Tiny Grimes. And Joe Gooch from 10 Years After, the new 10 Years After.
Hello. Rick? Absolutely. How you doing?
Good to see you again. Nice to see you, Joe. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Rick, first of all, what about the old 10 Years After? Why haven't you got... I mean, I know Joe is very good, and this is not to be meant as insulting, but why haven't you got Alvin?
We asked him. I think we talked about it. I remastered a lot of the old albums, both on EMI and Universal, and put some bonus tracks and whatever. And I rang Alvin and said, can we tour to support these releases? And he hinted that that wasn't what he really wanted to do. And the rest of us wanted to play. And a situation came up whereby we were asked to form a band to support a guitarist called Carvin Jones, who I think you're familiar with.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
And we went off and did a European thing. And we realized there was a terrific demand for the 10 Years After stuff. So we tried a couple of guitar players and... they didn't quite work out for whatever reason, because it's a jamming band and a lot of guitar players could get the hang of what Alvin used to do in terms of licks, but couldn't really jam with us when it came to the solo sections. And Tom and Harry Lyons, who are Leo's sons, said, we went to school with this guy called Joe Gooch and he's absolutely amazing. Why don't you check him out?
Right.
So I went down to Herefordshire where Joe lives and,
Saw him
play a gig and was blown away, And so we grabbed him, rehearsed 2 days, and the third day he was in Germany doing a gig with us.
Great. You've written the booklet notes to all the CDs that have been reissued. How many have come out again?
And I think there's Alive at the Fillmore.
Which is new, actually.
It had been lying around in the vault since 1970. I think it wasn't released at the time because Cricklewood Green was ready to go.
Yes.
And that had Love Like a Man on it, and that was a big hit for us, of course. It was a UK hit.
And one track on the Fillmore album was actually the live version of Love Like a Man.
Which you
put out. Did that come out as the B-side of the studio version?
Yeah, Decca wanted a single, basically, because these tracks were actually recorded under the Decca contract, but then they reverted to EMI when they purchased Chrysalis. It's a bizarre sort of story.
Yes.
And I'm sure you know all about that.
Well, vagaries and ins and outs of record company life.
But they edited what was a studio recording, which is on the Crickled Green album, down from 7 minutes to 3. Hmm. And the guitar solo, I think, on that is like, and that's it. So we wanted the long version. So we we insisted that it went on the B-side, and we had it at 33 and a third.
Oh, I see. That's how you got all 9 minutes of it or whatever.
There's a little story in there about when we played in France. And I went into this bar with Leo and Chick one night. We were recording over there. We'd taken the Stones mobile out to do one of the albums. Went into this bar, and it was on the jukebox. And these people got up, but they played the B-side. And, of course, it was 33 playing at 45. And they danced to it. And then they turned to our table and applauded, you know. really kind of embarrassing. No. We went back 2 nights later, and the same damn thing happened.
It's amazing.
Well, I don't know if that says something about the French, or maybe
so
we should mention
it. How long does a 9-minute track at 33 and a third last at 45? Oh, it doesn't matter.
What's also
amazing about that, you did the Fillmore. And this astonished me. You did the Fillmore like 4 times in 2 years.
Yeah.
And some of them were sort of really close together. And look at the sort of build. The first time you were there, it was August 68, you opened for Big Brother and the Holding Company and the Staple Singers.
I mean, that was a hell of a show.
Those were the days. Yeah. I mean, I went to the Fillmore East a couple of times, and I saw you know, Derek and the Dominoes, supported by Humble Pie.
Wonderful.
You know, and another time it was Pink Floyd, and I can't remember. Oh, yeah, Grateful Dead, you know.
That's it.
It was all sorts of... Yeah. What times those were?
Well, I had a hard one, because when we did Fillmore West, the support act was Buddy Rich Big Band.
Wow. Nice, nice comparison.
Yeah,
you know.
Not
you
a lot of fun following it with the drum solo, really. Believe me.
Did you have to play a drum solo?
Afterwards, yeah.
Afterwards, you did. What days? I mean, absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah.
So here's this album and several more. Which
There was we did on, just try and get them in chronological, we did 10 Years After, which is the first album on which we played a track written by someone that we all know and love.
Yes. Oh, my claim to fame.
Then Undead, which we actually found nearly all of it. Somebody had wiped a couple of the tracks, but because the original on vinyl was, you couldn't get enough, you can only do 38 minutes, I think it was, wasn't it? 38, 39 minutes on vinyl.
Like that, yeah.
And of course, with 75 minutes on CD, it was great. We could put all the rest of the stuff on.
Yeah.
And then we did Stonehenge as well with some bonus tracks.
And you found loads of bonus tracks.
We've been very lucky.
Very good. Let's play something from Live at the Fillmore East. And you were talking about it being a jamming band and stuff. And I don't know if we'll absolutely get all of this, but I would like to play I Woke Up This Morning.
Oh, wonderful.
It's great. And it really shows you off.
Thank you.
I woke up this morning from Live at the Fillmore East double CD by 10 Years After, as originally was. And now, 10 Years After, is exactly the same, all except for Joe Gooch is now the lead guitar player. When he came to see you in, where was it, Hereford?
Hereford, yeah.
Did you know what was going on, or had you any inkling?
Yeah, because I'd spoke to him prior to it. Yeah, but we'd arranged it. He said to put a gig together, you know, and he'd come down and have a look at it. So that's what I did. It was in a kind of 12th century cruck barn, which gave it another dimension, you know.
And what was the band? Was it your band? Or
it was just I put some musicians together and just sort of threw a set together and did some stuff.
You know, so you knew you were auditioning?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Great. Were you overawed or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was great that Rick came, you know, and it was a real sort of great experience, really.
I was a bit worried actually, because he had a girl drummer who was absolutely amazing. I was concerned that he'd get into our band and then move me over.
Right. How much of the Alvin Lee stuff did you know?
I learnt a lot of it for this, but I'd watched a Woodstock film when I was quite young, and I remember I had a video of the Woodstock film, and I used to watch Going Home, you know, and things like that, and just be kind of blown away by it. And so to actually end up playing with these guys, it takes a while to sink in. You know, it was great fun learning it, and it's great fun playing it.
Would you have said that Alvin was among your heroes, or...?
I'd say it was a guitar player that I really sort of respected and I was very aware of, but I listened to a lot of guitar players and was inspired by a lot of guitar players.
Do you want to name us three?
There's so many. I mean, when anybody asks me that, I always think of what I'm listening to at the moment more than anything. Listening to a lot of Robin Ford and also jazz, kind of Pat Metheny and Stephan Grappelli, I mean violin, but, you know, so at the moment, but all of the usual ones, you know, like Hendrix and Clapton, guys like that, you know. Mm. I mean, Hendrix really turned me on to guitar.
So how busy is the band? Oh, it's just about to go on the road.
Incredibly. We've got, I think it's 19 dates or 20 dates coming up in the UK.
You've already done Wilberston Hall in Northants, and then it all starts on Saturday with Deal and Norwich and the Isle of Wight and Southampton and Wimborne and Frome and Exeter and so on and so forth. Are you looking forward to this, Rick?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's 25 years since we played around this country. We did a couple of London gigs in the interim, but we've not toured the country for 25 years.
How much have you individually played apart from 10 Years After? Just at all, you know, you've been recording and stuff.
I've done, you know, I mean, how long we got? You know, I've done it. We did our album, which you very kindly played
on
the break.
We did do an album together, yes.
Joe and I were talking today as well. Maybe you may get an invite for the 10 Years After album if you're available.
I'm your man, as we say.
Yes.
And I think it's time we played something with Joe, don't you? You've got this new 5-track CD, but is this like work in progress?
This is a sampler of the live album we're putting out to go with the tour, because unfortunately the studio album isn't ready. The studio album will be ready for the autumn.
Right.
And I believe we're doing a session with you sometime.
You are indeed, yes.
And that we'll be playing stuff from the new album then.
Smashing. And I see you've got the wonderful old 10 Years After logo still very much in evidence.
Yeah, I still have the drum head at home, which that started life on. It's an old Ludwig, from my old Ludwig kit. Yeah.
And who actually sort of did the lettering?
One of the crew.
Was it really?
Time, yeah.
It's a fantastic piece of work.
Yeah.
I hope you're still getting the royalties.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll play from that an old 10 Years After classic. And I may be wrong, but I won't be wrong always. And Joe, what's happened to the girl drummer?
Girl drummer, yeah. Well, I've been trying to get her in, but we can't get rid of Rick.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Baby,
Very nice indeed. And although we did mention them, we ought to say that the bass solo was by Leo and the organ by Chick. And apart from Joe Gooch, the original 10 years after with Rick Lee. Good. Now it's time to, as I said at the start, have the last one from the Yellow and Blues Band. When I say that, I mean that the first two went out on the 27th of February. Here we are, and it's Little Piece of Leather.